Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Rosh Muhammad Salih here, the editor of Five Pillars. Now, as you all know, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, yesterday or on Sunday night, rather, there was a horrific Islamophobic terror attack in Canada, in London, Ontario. A Islamophobic terrorist effectively mowed down, ran down a Muslim family, a husband in his 40s, his mother in her 70s, his wife in her 40s, and his daughter, who was 15, I believe, and his son is the lone survivor, and he is recovering from horrific injuries in hospital as we speak. Now, the killer, I mean, he's been named as Nathaniel Veltman from London, Ontario. We know very little else about him, apart from the fact that the police have said that he chose the family because of their faith, because they were Muslims. He has been charged with murder. Condemnations have come around from all around the world, from the family who described the Afzal family as a beautiful family, as model citizens, as model Canadians, model Pakistanis, because that was their background, and also model Muslims who are very connected to their faith. Condemnations have already come from the Canadian Muslim Associations, asking for the full force of the law to be implemented against the killer and for Islamophobia in Canada to be tackled in no uncertain terms. Justin Trudeau, leaders around the world have condemned this as a hateful Islamophobic attack. Now, to discuss events, sad events in Canada over the last few days, I'm going to bring in and introduce to you, brothers and sisters, Joel Schindel, who is a chaplain at the Canadian Muslim Chaplain Association, and he's speaking to us today from Edmonton in Alberta. Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing, brother?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm doing well, but obviously we're coming together for a fortunate reason, but
yes, and without further ado, brother Joel, could you give me your reaction to the events?
I mean, obviously it's horrific. It's everything that you mentioned in the introduction, and I'm sure more specifically for that community in London, but obviously us as Muslims, we're a single community, not just in Canada, but you know, around the world. And so what affects us in one place should affect us just as much as it's happening to ourselves. But because it's so close to home, again, here in Canada, it's horrible. As a father, you see that. The problem, and maybe we'll get into this, is that this is not a new thing here in Canada, and it's getting worse, unfortunately.
I mean, Joel, from my perspective as someone who's never been to Canada, but I guess from an outside perspective, we look at Canada as a liberal country, as a tolerant country. When we think of the United States, we probably think of the opposite. But Canada, we think it's a welcoming place for immigrants, a multicultural society. Is that not the case?
I guess it depends on who's talking and who's speaking. And, you know, unfortunately, I would say that, you know, things have changed significantly over the past 20 years, where, you know, the average Canadian, you interact with them is one thing, but unfortunately now in the past 20 years for Muslims, you're seeing significant rhetoric that is becoming toxic and contributory to these sorts of, you know, frankly speaking, very, you know, overt attacks against Muslims. And so, but I think if you look at our history, I think if you take a deeper look at our history, this is nothing new to Canada. I mean, I was a physician, work with a lot of Indigenous communities, and we see a mass grave being discovered, you know, just a few hours from us. You know, we're in Western Canada, and Kamloops, BC is not that far away. And so this is, it's nothing, it can't be new if you're having these sorts of things. But I think that when you really look deeper and you're honest and truthful, then you realize that things are a little bit less rosy as we'd like to see ourselves as Canadians.
Does the situation in Canada kind of mirror that in the United States? Perhaps you guys going at a bit of a slower pace, but can we make comparisons between the US and Canada?
I'm sure you definitely can make comparisons for sure. I mean, of course, there's speaking historically, there's a lot of genocide and removal of indigenous communities and oppression of them. And even in terms of how immigration policies here have been, you know, very strict coming into Canada, you know, for different groups and what was considered and who was allowed to come and how they are allowed to come. East was anyone east of, I think, Turkey at some point would only be able to come as certain, you know, for certain occupations, and they wouldn't be able to come with their families. And, you know, you see different histories even of internment camps. We had internment camps for, we were just finished apologizing to, I mean, rightfully so, to Italian Canadians, to Japanese Canadians, to German Canadians. You know, this encampment is unfortunately part of our history. I think that if you look at the indigenous, there was treaties versus where there was just more or less mowing them over in the States. But there definitely is comparisons to be made for sure.
What do we know about the killer? I mean, if we kind of transpose this and imagine that he was a Muslim had done this, then I'm sure we would have had kind of his face, his mugshot, plastered over the front pages of every national newspaper. We'd already know his history. A couple of days on, we don't know much about this guy, do we?
Roshan, I just actually, this morning, I was up early and I Googled to see who is this person. Google Images, one of the best search engines, not a picture. The only picture that came up was someone who had this, must I assume had the same name, who was in Pittsburgh, you know, United States. Nobody, no image, nothing. I found that extremely odd. And, you know, you probably can and other in the audience can probably think about many reasons as to why that is, but I found definitely different from anything else, you know, especially if it's Muslim related.
Yeah. Is right-wing extremism a big problem in Canada? I know that it's growing here in the UK and in America. You know, the security agents used to kind of focus on so-called Islamic extremism, but they've admitted that the growth in right-wing extremism is extremely worrying. Is that the case in Canada as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been some condemnation of them. I would say that one of the bigger things than just the groups themselves is the fact that what is allowing, like a lot of these things don't happen in a vacuum. They don't happen in a vacuum. And so we need to look deeper and say, why is overt Islamophobic incidences able to happen? For example, we know that in 2016, the Canadian statistics has released, this is Canada released it, you know, the Islamophobic hate against Muslims went up 60% in 2016, 1 year before the deadly Quebec shooting attacks, which for those of the audience who don't remember, this is the most deadly massacre that's taken place on a religious institute on Canadian soil. And then, you know, you continue to have, for example, in Saskatoon, my hometown, where I still am, you know, situated, we had an elder from our community, and it literally is bone chilling. He was walking home from the morning prayer Fajr in his, you know, jalabiya or his Islamic attire, and was literally same thing. Someone with a truck attempted to run him over. And he's old, he's elderly, he has very poor eyesight. Somehow he was able to get into the bushes, and the person just followed him and threw and got out of his truck and continued to try to attack him by throwing something through his window. So this stuff is, and then you have people threatening Muslim students on campus at the University of Saskatchewan. So this is, it's on the rise, and it's this Islamophobia, but I believe it's systemic and institutionalized, is allowing all these groups to feel emboldened to do and say the crazy things that they do.
I should have probably asked you this question at the beginning of our conversation, but can you tell me a little bit more about Muslims in Canada? How many Muslims are there? Where do they live? What is their, I don't know, background, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, we haven't been able to, I think, since 2011, unfortunately, the census doesn't ask for religious orientation, unfortunately, or religious convictions. So the numbers, I think the approximate numbers is anywhere from 2 to 3%, I think, of the population. The population in Canada is about 35 million, most of which are in the provinces of Ontario and Quebec. Those are our most highly populated communities. But Muslims span across this country. We have various demographics. We have Lebanese populations who were pioneers, not in the colonial sense, but they came to produce to for a better life. And here in Alberta, they were here before the province became a province. So we are part and parcel as a Muslim community, part of this fabric of this community, of this, you know, community. But Canadian Muslims are, overall an absolute number smaller than, like, you know, the United States and, of course, the UK. Sure. But
how are they feeling today? How's the community feeling today?
I mean, horrified. I mean, obviously, they're hurting. I think, unfortunately, though, it's like you see, unfortunately, some of the from the responses that, you know, some of the effects of 20 years of this Islamophobia, in the sense that sometimes you feel it, you see some people can't even properly express themselves, in the sense that not properly because they can't, but it's almost like a self-censoring. You see, it's like we're focusing on, instead of calling it a spade a spade, we're feeling the need to kind of censor, like I said, or to present this thing in certain ways, as opposed to saying, hey, this is, yeah, again, not happening in a vacuum. This is happening at an alarming rate, in an alarming lethality, like if that's even a word, but it's becoming more and more lethal for Muslims. This is not, we don't need tokenism. We need real action.
So what would you be calling for? I mean, I guess when something like this happens in the UK, I guess we have three different positions. One position is Muslims have to organize ourselves. We have to organize our community, become stronger as a community. Others are saying, no, we must, you know, kind of ally with the non-Muslims and the wider community. We must do more outreach. And some people, and I have to say, these are conversations that are going on. Some people are saying we have to make hijrah. You know, the situation is getting so bad. The trajectory is towards the right. And in who knows what's going to happen in 30, 40 years time, what the situation will be. Are those kind of conversations happening in Canada?
Yeah, I would say that you're having more of there. I would say probably there is. I can't say that there wouldn't be, definitely, that spectrum. Primarily, I think what we're seeing a lot of, what I'm seeing a lot of, because I'll speak for myself, is that I'm seeing a lot of, people attempting to perhaps ally, but maybe not ally based upon our principles, you know, and that we need to do that more. And in order to, I feel, truly demand, we need to start demanding respect and demanding our rights. And what we're seeing, though, is a spectrum of people who, I think, feel allyship, which I believe is important in certain cases, according to principles that align with our worldview. But sometimes I think that when you don't call with a level of confidence or strength, or you're using the narrative of others instead of your own, you lose a lot. Mm. And I think that that becomes challenging. And I think that that's where why as leader, whoever's representing the communities has a big responsibility to ensure that they are having the difficult conversations. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we're shying away, you know, we're shying away from these necessary things just to not have that awkward conversation that needs to be had.
Any final thoughts, Joel, before we finish?
Well, you know what? Like I said, I think that it's important for us as Muslims to be principally based when it comes to approaching any problem or if we want to do anything. I think that looking inward is always huge. But I think we have to realize that systemic Islamophobia and institutional Islamophobia will not just get better. It needs us to unite. We need to have a multi-pronged approach. And a pronged approach, I feel, is going to require unity. And I think that, you know, having great, you know, brothers in organizations such as Five Pillars and yourself, who are leading the charge in this area, is absolutely key. And I really appreciate you guys reaching out. And I know I speak on a lot of, we have a lot of brothers and sisters here that we appreciate the support and the care for us here. And that Ummah consciousness is much appreciated. So Jazakallah Khair. Thank you so much, brother.
Jazakallah Khair, Joel. I know that you had a very busy day and I took you out of work for a little while. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving us the benefit of your wisdom. Okay, salaam alaikum, brother. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.